Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. I would like to inform all participants this conference is now being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to introduce your first speaker, Ms. Stephanie Baggett. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to welcome you today to the Jazz Open Mic session. The topic we'll be discussing today is what's new in Rational Team Concert 2.0 and Jazz 1.0. I want to briefly introduce the speakers today and then proceed on the call as if it were a casual discussion, sharing tips and knowledge about the topic and continue the discussion into the hour. So you know there is no web conference today and it will just be a discussion. First off, my name is Stephanie Baggott and I work for IBM as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. The speakers which will be joining us today are Rolf Nelson, who is the product manager for Rational Team Concert. Throughout his software product marketing career, Rolf has launched and grown enterprise software products for Apollo Computer, HP, and IBM. Rolf has over 25 years of experience in operating systems and software development tools. He has most recently been involved in driving the Rational Team Concert product direction and strategy. Our second speaker is Kartik Kanakasubasan, who has been with Rational for over 10 years and more than 16 years of IT experience. He has been working in various capacities throughout his career, ranging from development, technical sales, consulting services, product management, and IT management. He has published several white papers and has patents that have helped customers see value in adopting Rational solutions. He is currently the manager of a team called Jazz Jumpstart, whose focus is to enable worldwide customers to adopt Jazz products in a manner that will positively impact their software supply chain. Lastly, Eric Stama, a distinguished engineer at IBM Rational Software Zurich Lab. He is the technical lead of the Jazz project and Rational Team Concert. He was the original lead of the Eclipse Java development environment and was on the project management committee for the Eclipse project. Eric is also a member of the Gang of Four, which is known for its classical books, design patterns, elements of reusable object-oriented software. The speakers will be sharing their knowledge throughout the hour, but all mics are open, interactive, and free-for-all. So please feel free to jump in and share your thoughts and ideas. I would like to start by introducing our first speaker, Rolf Nelson. Go ahead, Rolf.
Thank you very much. Just kind of to level set, I wanted to sort of talk about Team Concert 2.0 and the major sort of initiatives and themes that we focused on. The first being that, and I do want to keep it interactive, but I wanted folks to sort of make sure they kind of level set on where we are and what we were focusing on with the release. The key thing, one of the key areas that we focused on was sort of making RTC ready for enterprise scale, high availability, and adding things like security to project areas. So you could host many different projects on a server, have thousands of users on that server, and have a high availability infrastructure to support that. So certainly one of the things that people had requested the most in RTC 1.0 was really to enhance the, we have very strong role-based security and other kinds of security models, but people wanted to basically have, you know, read access security across projects. They wanted to control that and control artifact access between project teams. So there's a nice security model that allows you to sort of decide which team members can access certain projects and which team members can be added to projects for access as well. And another key difference or focus area was really in filling out the three levels of the planning onion. You know, we had daily planning and we had sprint and iteration planning, but we didn't have the third level of the planning onion, which is sort of release level planning, which is kind of what you would use for a roll-up of iterations or sprint plans into an overall release plan. And, of course, you can have multiple release plans for a system kind of roadmap as well. So we added a lot of support. We focused on a web-based approach to agile planning. In other words, the functionality that we wanted to provide at both at the daily planning level, sort of the iteration planning and the release planning, was really to provide that support in the web, to include extended stakeholders, not just obviously developers in the Eclipse IDE and the Visual Studio IDE, but also kind of focus on that web-based approach to agile planning. So all the functionality, you have very rich sort of Ajax interfaces and the ability to support drag and drop and editing of agile plans directly in the web in your backlog. So you'll see new things in 2.0 like full support for release planning, support for backlog planning, in this rich web interface, and then support for task boards for a daily Scrum meeting or a stand-up meeting that you might want to run on a distributed team, for example. So you, again, there you have drag and drop to change the state of stories or tasks related to stories that are that might be in progress or done, and to have that daily Scrum meeting basically over a task board-based representation. There's a lot more we can talk about there. We really have other views into the backlog and the plans and the planning items themselves that are quite unique in Team Conscious, things like plan time, which show you kind of the order in which developers are actually performing work, not just their status of whether they're in progress or done. And we added a kind of unique feature in Agile Planning around doing a Monte Carlo analysis for estimation from the developer. If you have an estimated task and you provide us with a three-way estimate, kind of like your nominal and your expected and your, you know, if things don't go well, what would be my estimate kind of on the high end. And then we do an analysis there that allows you to determine if that particular item would fit into the iteration or not, and if it's likely to have higher risk, to help Agile teams identify high-risk items early. So there's two kind of – so we talked about enterprise scale, talked about Agile planning. Another key thing that we did was really we've always supported a bridge to Subversion for teams that wanted to adopt RTC incrementally and bring in sort of Agile planning and the collaboration and the work items and all of that capability, but, you know, use their existing SCM. So we've added two additional bridges in 2.0, one to Git and one to ClearCase, so that, you know, you can have your Subversion Git or ClearCase SCM and link it to work items in RTC. And the other thing we focused on was that some of the users of RTC who wanted to get started with RTC Express editions, in other words, smaller teams or mid-market teams, we focused on providing ways for customers to sort of adopt RTC incrementally, and we did a couple of things there. One was to kind of enhance the contributor license, and something we're continuing to do is enhance the contributor license to do support for Agile planning for customers who need access to Agile planning, work items, reporting, and dashboards, but don't need the full SCM and build capability, and then that you can sort of buy the right license for the right role. So the contributor license has more capabilities in 2.0, and we're also extending that in 2.01 to sort of define that role to be the non-developer role and an entry point for customers who want to, say, use Agile planning but aren't really necessarily replacing their SCM or build function today. And then if you look at the sort of additions of Express versus Standard and Enterprise, we moved some things to the left in that chart. And what those things were, we had some feedback from smaller teams that they needed things like work item attribute customization and presentation customization in order to take advantage of RTC Express edition. And we also put role-based permissions in the Express edition product. So Express C and Express now contain both role-based permissions and work item custom attributes and presentations. Which gives people a lot more capability. For example, if you were a Scrum user, and we have an out-of-the-box Scrum process in 2.0, and you wanted to add a custom attribute or change the presentation of the forms, for example, you can do that now, and you can also take advantage of role-based permissions. So I know that's a chunk of data, but I think it's important to understand that we were really focused on that mid-market adoption, the building out Agile planning, but also then on the high end, supporting large-scale deployments of, you know, thousands of users and really filling out the Scrum sort of Agile planning value proposition. So that's kind of a quick summary. If folks have questions on that, or I could turn it over to Kartik, and he can kind of talk about the Jazz Foundation and what we did to facilitate Jazz interoperability of Jazz-based products and non-Jazz-based products in 2.0.
Thanks, Rolf. So a couple of things that we did with Jazz. I mean, obviously, the biggest snafu that we all felt the pain was the fact that when the first generation of Jazz products came out, they weren't talking to each other. So a significant amount of effort around Jazz Foundation specifically was to make that into a reality. And that was actually being driven a lot by Eric Gamma, so he'll join us later today. but primarily more around the area of getting the product to talk together. Because Rational, generally, our history has been the fact that we talk about end-to-end integration. So a good chunk of work around that did go on. Are we there completely today? Very likely not yet. But the thing is, we're a lot closer than what we were last year. So a good chunk of work that we did there was around things like OAuth to make sure that, you know, once you log on to a particular app and then have to go from, let's say, RTC to RQM as one of the scenarios where you create a defect or need to associate a defect with a test case in RQM, that you weren't challenged for your credentials again. And the technology that we used there was something called as OAuth that would actually allow you to transfer your security tokens from one application to the other. The initial implementation of this, obviously, is that when you go ahead and do this, it will still challenge you once. But once you authenticate to RQM, subsequent associations with RRC or RQM, whether we're RTC, would not challenge you again because of the work that we did with OAuth to make sure that we had a much cleaner user experience in general overall. The other thing was obviously revamping a lot of our web capabilities. So as RTC in 2.0 that you would evidence is this notion of mashups. And basically what this will now allow us to do is have a more flexible web framework that will allow us to do things like cross-repository dashboards. So I could actually have a dashboard in Team Concert and look at widgets that are coming in from Rational Quality Manager and Rational Requirements Composer and actually see what's happening associated artifacts in this context, and things like rich hovers and so on and so forth. The other thing that we also did there was also to go ahead and improve the overall setup, if you will, the setup wizard on the Jazz Team server. And again, the FastPath setup capabilities are there, so we've actually provided administrative users to do as much administration as possible over the web versus needing to go ahead and use Eclipse. So there's again, a bigger thrust and a focus around that, and this will actually get even better and better as we evolve the Jazz Foundation going forward. License management aspects of things, obviously we cleaned up the UI a little bit based on our past experience and feedback that we got. I know from listening to our support folks that that's still one of our number one questions around how licensing is done with Jazz, because it's different compared to, let's say, a customer that's gone ahead and used Rational products in the past with FlexLM. So that said, we have actually gone ahead and made some changes, and you will start seeing a lot of the other new products kind of adopting this model specifically around the notion of capabilities going forward. But as of right now, that licensing that we introduced last year still hasn't changed. What we are doing is still making it more easily accessible to our users going forward. The other thing that we also spent a lot of time on was around OSLC, specifically. And what does OSLC stand for? It stands for Open Services Lifecycle Collaboration. And what we also wanted to go do was the fact that when we leverage OSLC to a certain extent of how we get RQM, RTC, and RRC communicating with each other. But at the same point, we wanted to take it beyond the realm of Jazz tools and actually extend the reach, if you will, to other third-party tools. So, for example, being able to go ahead and integrate ClearQuest with Rational Team Concert. And what I mean by integration is being able to render ClearQuest queries and forms right inside the Rational Team Concert web UI or the RQM web UI is being done and manifested through OSLC. So a user would not necessarily have to change or open up a new tab in your Firefox or Internet Explorer, log on and open up a new session of ClearQuest. You can actually log on to ClearQuest right from within RTC itself. And as a matter of fact, if you have a chance, you should go ahead and check out jazz.net and see some of the screenshots and videos around how this rendering is done. Along with that, we've also kind of reached out. We've now, using OSLC specifications, we've also gotten a Mylan integration as well with a company called Pathtop, where they now provide integrations with Rational Team Concert, ClearQuest, Change, and you can actually see all those integrations kind of manifesting at the desktop level. But at the end of the day, there's been a significant amount of effort being done on the OSLC area. The reason why there's been so much traction, if you will, in the change management space is because as of the OSLC effort, we have now come to an agreed specification on how to share information or what kind of attributes to expose for change. So if you guys go to open-services.net, the change management spec is has been delivered and agreed upon, at least the version 1.0. We are still in the process of developing the specifications for requirements management and test cases. And again, because this is an industry-wide effort, it will take a while for us to go ahead and get movement on this, but it is progressing as we speak. And we plan to leverage that to the fullest extent with our tools. And at the same time, using this exact same specifications, customers who have homegrown tools in-house would now be able to communicate and be part of the Jazz supply chain, if you will, and to be able to share information in a very seamless fashion going forward. The other thing also is there's work that's currently undergoing around the Jazz Foundation SDK. We wanted to actually have this delivered in June of this year, but as a matter of fact, we will get some inkling of an SDK made available for Foundation during this month. We are actually, Rolf, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're just a few weeks away from RTC 2001 and Jazz Foundation 1001 deliverables, right?
That's right. We're expecting in mid-September, we're just a couple weeks away from the final release of the 2.01 RTC.
Right. So one of the things that we are doing in this context from a Jazz area is basically providing this SDK, which will allow us to kind of solicit feedback. And if you guys have been following RTC for quite some time, when RTC first started out, we actually made RTC available a year before it GA'd and started soliciting feedback from customers on how we can improve the experience for RTC. We're doing the same thing for the Foundation as well. And what that is basically exposing some of these SDKs and APIs available to customers and see how they would like to go and extend and be part of the Jazz middleware story and improve that based on feedback that we get from customers. So we're just kind of, instead of reinventing the wheel, we're just reusing what we did with RTC and the success that we saw with RTC and see if we can implement that with Foundation. Now, you've heard rumors about Foundation being a product. It's not a product yet. And as a matter of fact, if you need more details about what the Jazz Foundation strategy for 2.0 is concerned, I would recommend that you reach out to Rustin Eklund, who's now the Jazz Foundation product manager. So with that, Rolf, I'll hand it back to you.
Great. And one thing to just clarify is that we do have an SDK for RTC 2.0 that released in June. And that really has examples and program examples of how you would do advanced extensions, such as if you wanted to integrate your own SCM. You know, there are program examples. We have all the how we did the Git integration, for example, using curl interfaces to work items. There are other examples there, such as if you're trying to extract certain data from RTC, whether it's work items or SCM. There's certainly APIs, both REST style interfaces to work items, but also Java APIs that are exposed and documented. And most of that documentation is actually on jazz.net. And so if you go to the library, if you go to jazz.net and there's a library link there, you just type in SDK. It'll get you to both the Jazz Foundation SDK wiki as well as the RTC 2.0 wiki if you're looking for information about that. And we have a specific forum for people who are trying to extend
Rolf, are you there?
It appears that his line has disconnected. We'll
yeah.
bring him back in
yeah,
in a second.
His phone just died. I thought it was my phone. Sorry. I was just about to ping you, Stephanie. All right. He's joining shortly.
I think we should take this moment. Does anyone have any questions they want to ask Kartik while he's still on the line? Feel free to ask any questions. Steve, I know you're out there. Do you have anything you want to ask?
Yeah, not right now. You know, I'm just trying to understand everything, before I ask the question.
anyone else at any time, just feel free to ask any of the speakers a question.
The only question I this is Steve. The only question I have it right now is what is the major difference between 2.0 and 2.1?
No, we don't have 2.1. We have 2.0.0.1.
Yeah, 2.0.0.1. Yep. I just downloaded 2.0.0.1. That is a fixed spec. But
yep.
I just heard it like they're going to release 2.1 on September.
No, we're not releasing 2.1 in September. We're releasing 2.0.1 in September.
2.0.1, okay.
Okay, there's no such thing as 2.1.
Oh, okay, thank you.
The next major release for RTC is actually going to be 3.0, which is June next year. But for all intents and purposes, between June and now, we'll be releasing fixed packs and our updates. And 2.0.1 is an update to the 2.0 stream.
Yeah, this is Rolf. I'm back on as well. There was also a fixed pack in August to 2.0, an iFix sort of update, and then there's a 2.0.1. It's a little bit unusual for us to have in August and September two releases. That likely won't happen again.
Right.
So what you'll see is about every 3 to 4 months there would be a fixed pack release for Team Concert and the Foundation, and those would sometimes be point releases like 2.0.01 or 2.0.02, and sometimes they'll just be eye fixes. You know, they'll really be more of a really just pure defects. And the reason we're doing that is so we can get functionality. Like, for example, we're releasing electronic signature support and work items in 2.0.01, and we're releasing some other enhancements that customers have asked for. Like in the Scrum reporting area, people have asked for burn-up charts and more detail. To extract information like more detail around actual estimates versus planned time that developers sort of spent on a task, you know, when corrections were made, and that kind of viewing of the whole burn-up and burn-down sort of view of more detail there for Scrum reporting, for example, will be in 2.0.01.
Right, and as Rolf alluded to, in 2.0.01, there's things like electronic signatures. We've done better governance. We've actually added additional reporting capabilities, and one of the things that's a significant departure from Rational's past, if you will, how wedded we were to the Merge Manager tool. What we've also now added in Rational Team Concert 2.0 is the flexibility. So if a customer, let's say, wants to go ahead and merge Office documents, the only other Merge tool that actually offers to merge Office documents like PowerPoint, spreadsheets, and Word is Compare Suite. So if they have a compare, if they want to go ahead and check out Office documents and use Compare Suite to merge them, they can go ahead and do that and customize those kind of merging tools as need be. So they're not necessarily wedded to the way Eclipse diffs and merges artifacts with source or artifacts that are checked into Team Concert.
Right. And another example of that would be there's a popular tool out there called Beyond Compare, which a lot of people use for diffing source code, and they can plug that right into 2.0.01 as well with this extensibility of the diff engine.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the capabilities that we've also now added are things like, you know, being able to go ahead and associate an existing work item with a build result, which was not there. I mean, it was, again, a very cosmetic thing because you had the capability to go and create a new work item, but now you can also go and associate an existing work item that's there with build, and also being able to go ahead and tag your build. So if you want to go and search, you can do that. You can prune your build results, so you can actually allow for deletions. If there are certain records, build records that you want to go ahead and allow for deletion, you can now do that. And if certain records you want to keep, you can do that as well. So there's this kind of capability that you can now go ahead and see as well. And also you can see the time queue for the build on the web browser as well. And again, these are some kind of very cosmetic capabilities that we've added. You know, I mean, obviously, within IBM mandates, we're not supposed to add new feature functions, but these are just additional capabilities that we've just added to Team Concert for 2.0.1.
Another area that comes up a lot is, you know, in big deployments of Team Concert is if you have a remote sort of network that doesn't have good performance or has intermittent performance, people have asked us to support a caching proxy over a secure proxy cache model. And we're leveraging HTTPS caching for content, for SDM file content in 2.01. And we'll be providing kind of a tech notes how you can set that up for 2.0 as well. So it's really just leveraging the existing SQUID technology that's out there for it's used by companies like eBay for their, you know, online distributed site management of content. And this is really a way to say if you have a, you know, say a network that's, you know, has very high latency, you can have a caching server that's running on the other side of the RTC server or the Jazz Foundation server essentially underneath, and it'll cache content for SCM content on that remote server, sort of a read-only cache, but it'll provide a level of security so that people can't, you know, get in and read the contents of that proxy cache. So again, that's something that you'll typically see in enterprise offerings that have a centralized model like Team Concert does.
Just to kind of add to what Rolf said, the SQUID technology that he's alluding to here is the Apache SQUID technology. And this is not something that we're going to be bundling with Team Concert. This will be made available as a separate download. Or rather, you can just go to Apache's website and download SQUID from there and have it work with Team Concert. But typically, this is useful. Why? One, because in typical enterprise deployments, Microsoft has actually done a very good job in marketing by saying that they need proxies. And the reason why Microsoft says that we need proxies is primarily because they charge for servers for proxies, and we're not. What we are now offering is this caching capability for enterprise deployments to be able to go ahead and leverage this caching capability on low latency networks and not necessarily charging for it. Am I correct there, Rolf?
That's right. That's the plan right now, is not to incrementally charge for that additional server topology. So if you have a complex configuration with a lot of content caches, or you know, where you're running those content caches on multiple servers, we don't feel that this is something people need to do, even in enterprise deployments. It's just that what we've run into is there are situations where someone wants to have, because they don't have a reliable network connection to the server, or there are other scenarios too where it makes sense, where you're doing a lot of build. You know, what RTC does is encourages a lot of building, with personal builds and private builds that take place. So there's an awful lot of build going on, and oftentimes the build server is building often the same content, or a large quantity of the content is not changing. So if you actually set up a content cache server, a secure content cache server on your sort of build engine, it actually offloads your Team Concert server, and you can get more users on that server, or you can get better performance in a large enterprise deployment. So we've done that ourselves inside the development. The Team Concert development team has essentially put a SQUID content cache server on the build server. So there are kind of two scenarios that we see that being leveraged. One is I've got maybe a team in India, and they have poor network performance, and they need to have access to the SCM content, in a more reliable way to counteract that poor network performance. And the other would be to offload the server for scalability when you're doing a lot of build from a build server.
And I'd also like to kind of take a step further and also talk about some of the improvements that we've done in 2.01, specifically in the context of the Visual Studio client. There's, again, been a lot of work that's been done. As mentioned earlier, the fact that when we came up with the Visual Studio client, there was some level of gap between the capabilities that we could do in Eclipse versus what we could do in Visual Studio. And our Visual Studio integration, you can now actually go ahead and create plans and actually get access to plans right from the Visual Studio IDE itself. Along with that, you can also get the error decorations, compilation error decorations that actually happen in the context of Visual Studio directly with the code change sets that are actually happening when you deliver changes and so on and so forth in that context. Along with that, you can also pick up those error decorations, and you know, just like what you can do with Eclipse, where you have these error decorations that come up, and you can right-click and create new work items. Again, those are the kind of capabilities that we're now introducing even in the Visual Studio client. And with 2.0, we introduced file locking, or pessimistic file locking, through the Eclipse client. that's now also available through the Visual Studio client as well. So again, there have been some significant efforts around that to kind of bridge the gap, if you will. And if there's more details that you need, I would highly recommend that you go and look at the 201 Release Canada 1, New and Noteworthy. And there's information also available there on some of the key changes that we've gone ahead and put in into the 201 release.
And Carter, you don't want to forget the fact that we've also added feeds to that client. So,
yes.
So now you have event feeds that can be subscribed by the Visual Studio developer, giving you full access inside the IDE to subscribing to RSS Atom feeds from any team or any other project, build events, you know, work item change events, and that, you know, subscribing to those directly in the IDE for collaboration. So it's really, you know, if you look at the Visual Studio client in 1.0 and 2.0, we had really focused on the developer function for SVM, work item, and build, which is what we enhanced in 2.0 with the build capability, and then we've extended that to support the things Kartik talked about, but also adding collaborative support for feeds and capabilities like that. So we're getting more interest in that Visual Studio client in terms of its rich capability to support team area navigation directly in the IDE. And that client is a native C#.NET client, you know, developed using Team Concert by our team that develops the Visual Studio client. So we use the code to develop it as well, and that's important, I think, for, you know, having a development team that uses Visual Studio as part of our development process.
Right. And the other thing also is we've gone ahead and improved some of the cross-server communication. So when RRC 2.0 comes out in November, it will out of the box integrate with RTC 2001 and RQM 2.0. So we will actually have a very well-defined integrated story from a CELM perspective between the various products. All right. Any questions?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. This is Kushambi from Accenture, Mumbai, India. I had a question on cross-server communication between RQM and RTC.
Right.
Is it that at a time only a cross-server server communication is established between either from RQM from RTC or to CQ from RTC? Is it that at a time only one connection can be established, or we can have multiple connections at a time?
Well, at the moment right now, at least for 2.0, it's one connection. But going forward, in 2.01, you can now actually do multiple connections because at the end of the day, we want to integrate but not only just with RQM but with RRC as well. So it would kind of be a sad situation if we couldn't integrate with if it was only one connection. Now, in the context of CQ, because it's also following OSLC, you can actually have multiple communication, cross-server communication capabilities as well. So just to kind of emphasize, the cross-server communication capability is multiple servers because we do want to integrate not only just with RQM but with RRC as well. And in CQ, just because it's part of the OSLC spec, can also take advantage of that capability as well.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Thank you.
Yeah, I do think also that it, just so people are aware, it's the 2.0 versions of the products that you need to do the collaborative ALM or to have the linkages that we talked about. There's these sort of friend relationships between projects. There's cross-linking going on. Of course, you can query across those links, and you can do cross-repository dashboards and reporting, as Kartik talked about. But in order to do that, right, you have to have RTC 2.0 and Rational Quality Manager 2.0. And then you'll need Rational Requirements Composer 2.0 or later. So the Rational Requirements Composer 2.0 is not yet available. That'll come out later in the fall and in later this year. And I think the important point is that the stuff we're talking about you can do between Quality Manager and Team Concert, but you can also do it between two Team Concert or two Quality Manager editions. So
yeah.
If you had a very large configuration, or let's say you have a small team, a consulting team using Team Concert, and they need to collaborate with somebody in your company, they're doing a consulting effort, and you want to share dashboard information between, you know, another company perhaps in your company, you can do that as well, two Team Concert edition. So things like cross-project dashboards and cross-repository dashboards can be used from RTC to RTC in 2.0 as well. One of the things we're also enhancing, this, I don't think we talked about this, in 2.0, those cross-repository dashboards allow you to do queries across products and server instantiations of RTC. In 2.01, they'll actually add full viewlet support for the reporting. So if you wanted to, say, you know, share a burn-up chart or a burn-down chart with another team that was using another copy of RTC on a server or quality manager, or you wanted to look at blocking test defects, of course, that's just a query. You can do that in 2.0. But if you want to share sort of a visual representation of the viewlet, you know, a report viewlet, say a histogram kind of report or a pie chart kind of report, that is supported in RTC 2.01. So that's kind of an extension of that cross-repository dashboards to extend it to support not just queries and event feeds, but also to support reporting viewlets.
Okay, thank you.
Good question again. Any other questions?
Yeah, if there's no questions, I'm actually curious what process templates some of the customers might be using. So if you want to share that with us, it'd be interesting in that. Or if you're planning to move to Scrum 2.0, that would be interesting as well. What we've done in 2.0 is enhance that Scrum process template to really incorporate all these new features that are related to Scrum, such as the burn down charts, for example, and in 2.01, the burn-up charts as well, the velocity charts and reports and viewlets. And so out of the box, right, that's sort of pre-configured. It's designed to follow, you know, a Scrum process model that you might expect to see, you know, defined as a sort of standard model from someone like, you know, Mike Cohn's book on Agile Estimation and Planning, which sort of has examples of like the Havana project, you know, that kind of project. If you want to use that out of the box, then you just take RTC 2.0 Scrum process template, and it'll provide that capability across the board. Whether you're talking about a particular set of reports or dashboard viewlets, it'll have some pre-configured support for you for Scrum. Have folks been using 2.0? Or people really in this stage where they're kind of looking at just beginning to deploy, move from 1.0 to 2.0 or start
right.
with 2.0?
Have there been any challenges with regards to migration or anything of that kind that might have happened with the customers that are adopting going from 1.0 to 2.0 that you guys might have encountered? I guess we did a really good job, Rolf. We don't have any
yes.
complaints.
This is Roger Moore with Mentographics.
Yep.
We're not actually using it right now, so I don't have an answer for your question, but I have one of my own. You mentioned integrations with Subversion and Git. Do you have any plans for one with Perforce too?
Well, what we plan to go do is we've actually documented the process of actually being able to write those bridges. So with regards to Perforce, you know, if you want to go ahead and write something on your own, the documentation is available and it's there. We do plan to also work with business partners around Perforce integration, but because Git and SVN are open source, it's actually a lot easier for us to go ahead and write those integrations in house versus working with writing things for a competitive product. So for all intents and purposes, the willingness is definitely there, but it's going to be done through different channels, and that will take time. But to a certain extent, the integration plumbing to integrate with things like Perforce or other SCM tools, that's already available, that can be, again, leveraged and extended to support any kind of SCM tool that's under the sun. So if you want to go ahead and, let's say, use Mercurial or anything else, and you want to integrate that with RTC, the documentation is already available on jazz.net on how to do it.
Yeah, actually, in the whole source code to the Git integration is actually posted on jazz.net. So if you go to the library again, just type in Git, you'll see that there's a nice design article from the developer who built that integration, and all the source code is downloadable for how we link between the commits to the work item, to change that linkages. And that's using Perl in that particular example, and the REST style sort of interfaces to work items. But to answer your question about Perforce, I mean, we do see Perforce a lot, you know, in customers who want to integrate that, who have adopted Perforce but want to take advantage of agile planning and work items and dashboards and, you know, and use Jazz SCM on some projects but have some teams that are using Perforce link into RTC. And we are working with a partner. The partner who built the Jira integration to RTC is also looking at building a Perforce integration, and they're going to use a bridge technology, is my understanding, rather than, say, you know, a synchronizer-type technology. And the bridge is more interesting in the sense that you know, it's much more, I think it's more sustainable and requires lower administration, right, to have the bridge is a this loose coupling. And part of our strategy around, you know, this Jazz integration architecture is to provide linkages between, you know, many tools into that Jazz platform. We see the platform as really, you know, a key reason to sort of purchase RTC is because you're buying a platform and not just a set of kind of loosely coupled point products. And the level of integration that you need to do, even to take a product that's not Jazz-based and hook it into that platform, you know, is fairly low-cost effort. I mean, another example of that would be a lot of people like to use different build tools with RTC. They want to use Hudson or they want to use Cruise Control or some other build engine. And the build design for what's built into RTC is designed to extend the build engine and still report on build status in that graphical view to give you, you know, the reporting and the capabilities you want around the status of builds and the continuous integration sort of engine reporting status. But the actual underlying engine could be multiple engines. And I know on Kartik's team, he has someone who works on his team that's kind of extended that to Hudson. So you should probably, you'll see probably see more information about that kind of in a tech note shortly. And then we have other capabilities that like BuildForge, for example, for customers who have enterprise build capabilities, want to do, you know, things like, you know, load management across distributed builds or support, say, building in Perforce and building in other areas. You know, they can have those. They can use BuildForge and have it as a build engine for RTC, and then have it report into the reporting infrastructure that the builds provide in RTC. So that's one example of extensibility in addition to this sort of SCM extensibility. You should be aware that when you'd use an alternate SCM, right, you wouldn't be able to do the process control over what's happening in that SCM, but you could certainly participate in agile planning, you know, backlog planning, scrum planning kind of thing. But you wouldn't be able to have a rule that said, you know, what you want to control, say, some operation on deliver of work from Perforce, let's say, and control the process of what's happening in the SCM directly from the XML process engine in RTC, right? So you get that kind of tighter integration where you use the Jazz SCM.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Steve from the DSC within IBM. I have one question, like, because in our team we have around 25 servers from the RTC 1 to RTC 2.0 Enterprise Edition migration, and then I'm handling that process.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now is the talking about the RTC version 2.001. So I just want to know, where can I find the, you know, like documentation for the, what is the difference between 2.0 and 2.001?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, if you go to jazz.net...
Yep, I'm in the jazz.net.
And on downloads, if you go to downloads and look at just the new and noteworthy for 2001, the new and noteworthy actually kind of gives you the delta between what's new in 2001 versus what was there in RTC 2.0.
Yeah, sometimes it'll... You know, sometimes in the intermediate milestones, it'll document what's new in that milestone, like between, you know, milestone 2 and milestone 1 or release candidate 1 and previous. But on the larger releases, when you look at the new and noteworthy tab and we're in the process of releasing something new, new and noteworthy sometimes is multiple tabs, right, because it might say what's new in the milestone 1 release, what's new in the milestone 2 release. And when we get to the end game, the final release, then we roll up all that new and noteworthy into one place.
Yep.
There are, typically when we release the product, we typically also put out some material that kind of, some presentation or some video material that kind of talks about what's new as well. But if you're following the release kind of more, milestone to milestone, if you go to the RTC dashboard, you go to the RTC homepage for the project and it says, here's our project dashboard, and then I think there's another link to the real dashboard. And when you get there, there's a tab called 2.001, and in there you can kind of monitor what we see as product managers, right? What's the status of the release and what's been delivered, what's on track, any problems that there might be, and the quality status of the release.
Well, Rolf, I would even take it a step further, too. If you just go to the 2001 dashboard, mm-hmm. development dashboard, you can actually see the work items that we've gone ahead and addressed in 2001 as part of our deliverable. So you don't have to even wait for the new and noteworthy to come out.
Right.
You can just look at our dashboard for 2001 and actually see the work that the team is actually doing live.
Right, and if you follow those planned items that you typically link to an enhancement or a story and then link to a task, a child task, that so if you follow, say, the electronic signature one, you can comment as we're building the electronic signature support, you can comment directly in the work item and with engineering and have your input about, does this meet your need and is the right design for what you need. So that's the intent, right? The whole open development model gives you this insight into the roadmap. You can actually see the 2.01 tab, and there's something I think they're called the 2.02 tab.
Yep.
And it has, if you wanted to go and comment on some new features being added in 2.02, you could just track those plan items down to their child tasks, and you can get in there and comment on the work items yourself or submit your own, create a new work item, enhancement request. So it's very different, I think, than the way we've developed software in the past. It gives you that transparency of an open project, and gives you visibility into the quality and all the information about the release in interaction with development team.
Okay, this is Kashambe again from Accenture India.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. We hear you.
Yeah, I do have a question again. In the release notes, I can find for 2.0 that we have a way to import work items and export work items from CSV files.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have similar kind of behavior for queries? Can we import and export queries in different project areas, the same queries?
So queries that exist in RTC you want to export to another project? That right?
Exactly. If a query is existing in one project area and I'm exporting it, and then I want to import the same set of queries in different project area.
Yeah, I don't
is
know the answer to that, actually.
Yeah.
Kartik, do you know offhand?
I don't. Hold on. Eric, why don't you just step in?
Because as of now, when I tried in 1011 as well as in 2.0, it's not supported.
No, we've got Eric Gamma on the phone, so you can hear from the horse's mouth. So Eric, do we have that capability?
So it's not installed, but if you really want to do it, if you look at the XML in the process spec, then you can copy that over to another project area.
So you can cut and paste, XML fragments that define the queries, I guess, and bring them into another process template would be one way to do it.
Right.
Well, I did not get the answer completely.
Well, no. Can
I get it on?
Yeah. So the answer basically is that there's no wizard as such that actually allows you to export queries directly from one project area to the other project area. And it does require a little bit of manual work, wherein which you have to cut and paste the XML, the process template XML file, which has the query section in it, cut and paste that, and stick it into your target process area or project area.
Is the answer to this question available on jazz.net? Can I have the answer from there?
Well, I'll tell you what. If it's not there, why don't you go put a forum posting there, and we'll respond to it.
Definitely, I'll do that. That's a good way.
So maybe it helps first to know why. What scenario you want to address with that?
So if you, yeah.
is, The scenario is simply I have created a query. I have 10 queries in a project area. I want to share the same set of queries in another project area. For that, I need to export the queries first, and then I want to import it back to the different project area. So, in a way, I just wanted to ask, is there something wizard that I can do that, or some other mechanism, like even the XML changings, I wasn't aware of that. By doing so, I'll get the queries in different project area also, the same set of queries.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know
there's another option, right? If you want to create your own project area which has these queries in there, then you see that in the project aspect editor, you can add existing queries to a process template which you then can share with other projects. But this only helps if you create new projects, right? So I think what I hear from you is you want to add them to existing projects. So I understand your scenario. So that's good. So there is no direct easy answer for that other than the manual step that Kartik described.
You meant to say sharing the queries.
So the scenario that we heard here was the fact that you have two independent project areas.
Yeah.
That are existing, and you want to go ahead and use queries that are in one project area, the same queries in a different project area.
Exactly.
And in that context right now, at what's available today, there's no such wizard that's available that allows you to move those queries to the other project area. But what we do allow for is the fact that you can go to the process template file, the XML file, cut and paste those queries, then go to the target project area, open the process XML file there, and paste that snippet.
Okay.
And if you were creating a new project, then the queries, I believe the queries that you may have defined will be available for population of that new project is what I also heard.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I got the XML changes as well. But as of now, there's no such wizard.
No, there's no wizard.
Okay. Thank you.
You can find enhancement requests, right? That's
yeah, please. I think this warrants a good enhancement request on jazz.net, so if you could do that, that'd be better.
Definitely. I'll post this query as well there.
Yeah. All right. That was actually a very good question. Any more questions?
No, not as of now.
Right.
I'll definitely reach out to your email ID because I do have a lot many questions.
Sure, not a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, if there are no other questions, I think we'll close the session for now. I just have one other request. The mechanism that we're using to have this conference will solicit your comments at the end of the session. And if you have any other feedback, feel free to post on the jazz.net forum where the session was advertised, or you can contact me through email, and my email is sbagot@ca.ibm.com. If there's no other questions or thoughts, I just want to say thank you to everyone for coming and participating, and I hope to hear from you next week when we discuss Theom with 2.0 Jazz products. And the guest speakers are Carolyn Tampino and Eric Gamma. Thanks, everyone, for coming.